Thanks to the combination of tech and financial services, making a purchase of pretty much anything has never been easier. Sadly, those two elements have also made ripoffs and scams a lot easier. In your haste to click, you might just be turning over some of your most valuable information to a scammer who can vacuum your finances out faster than you can say, how many more days until Christmas? My next guest is here to raise your awareness about the cyber scams that are running rampant, what steps to take to safeguard against them. He is a cybersecurity expert, heads up strategy and operations for Visa Global Fraud Services. Michael Chabar, how are you today, Michael?
I am well. How are you doing?
Good to have you here, especially this time of year as the online shopping is a year-round adventure, but more so than the rest of the year. We're certainly getting to the red zone now. Visa.com/blog. We can get a steady stream of awareness and information beyond what Michael is going to discuss here. But I was looking at the stats, Michael, when it comes to cyber scams, cybersecurity, fraud, all of the above. The rate it is happening and the growth of it has been astronomical in just the last couple of years. Triple digit growth of some of these scams just sprouting and spreading and attacking people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think what we're seeing is that the fraud landscape continues to evolve. There are constant kind of new vectors that pop up as new technologies come on board. And, you know, fraudsters are nothing if not innovative. So they're always looking ways to maximize kind of their efforts, and unfortunately, that maximization comes at the expense of consumers and businesses.
And the response really is on a two-sided situation. We'll get into this with Michael. First, you as the consumer, but also the business, has to take precautions as well. For the consumer, Michael, it can be really easy to fall prey to these things with now text messages, or even at the register or the ATM, they're called skimmers, which are basically false data pads that are placed over the legitimate data pads that are in effect taking your information. What are some of the things that the consumer has to be aware of and be cautious about?
So there is kind of a whole host of new schemes that we have observed that is targeting consumers specifically. So I'm sure you and your listeners have heard quite a bit about ChatGPT and capabilities like it that have made the lives of many much easier. Well, those innovations are available to fraudsters as well. So we're seeing now fraudsters use those assets to come up with really convincing phishing emails that are much more successful than anything that we have seen before. We're seeing other types of scams targeting consumers, things like a free gift card scam or a too-good-to-be-true scam. The idea being, hey, you can get Taylor Swift tickets for $50. Just give us your card data. But, of course, that card data is just being stolen and monetized either by making illegitimate transactions or by being sold on the dark web. So there's kind of a lot of kind of nuance that consumers should take when they are interacting and purchasing online to see, hey, is this too good to be true? Because it likely is.
Are these, Michael mentioned the gift card scams too. A lot of these are, you see them on posts, on whatever it is that you're posting about, and in the thread, you'll see these things. They're just dropping these all over the place to the point where the U.S. is the most highly targeted country. 46% of global cyber scams are directed toward Americans. Fraud cases up 70% since 2020. And it's important, too, Michael, to realize a lot of these scams don't originate within America. They're launched overseas, which makes recovery does that make recovery and return of what's taken from you that much more difficult?
Absolutely. So the nature of fraud today is global. It is complex. It is organized. It is well-funded. And so the idea that this is kind of set up by some hooligans living in their parents' basement, that's far from the truth. You know, it could be kind of organized crime. It could be nation-state backed. And so the adversaries on the other side are pretty formidable, which is why, from our sense, we've been investing so heavily in our cyber and AI capabilities, over $10 billion in the last 5 years, because we understand the complexity of the task at hand and the challenges that consumers are facing with that we need to back them up with.
That's really an important idea for every business, no matter the size, to pay attention to. Again, a stat I found doing research, 55% of people here in America would be less likely to continue doing business with a company or a business that had their data breached, which I'm surprised the number is that low, quite frankly. And it's really a responsibility in the here and now with businesses to take responsibility as creating the firewall, I guess we'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it really is a mindset. A lot of times when you are a business of any size, your number one focus is, you know, selling your good or service. Security tends to be a byproduct, but that's not really the case at all, right? Security is embedded in any good or service that you sell. It is your job as the proprietor of that business to make that a key priority in the same way that you're thinking about, you know, your marketing or, you know, your sales or anything like that. So it's really kind of a focus on this topic that is going to make you a sustainable and profitable long-term business.
Talking about Michael Jabbar, who is a cybersecurity expert, heads up strategy and operations for Visa Global Fraud Services, Visa.com. If you go to /blog, you'll find out a steady stream of information, keep you aware of what is currently on the attack and how to defend against that. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I know there's a person listening to us right now, Michael, who says, well, I got the perfect way to stay free and clear of any sort of cyber scam. I'm going to just go to the brick-and-mortar retail outlets and shop in an actual store, and they think they'll be totally safe. Are they correct in that assumption?
That would not be a correct assumption, because the way that fraudsters operate is very much around thinking about vulnerabilities, and these vulnerabilities could exist in systems, which often lead to these data breaches that you read about in the news, but more often than not, what they're focused on are vulnerabilities in people and these conscious biases that we have that can be really exploited. So the reason why these, too good to be true scams are so successful is because it plays on the way that we behave. If we think we're getting a deal or if we think we're about to lose the deal, we're more likely to act, FOMO, in other words. In the same way, if we think that something is secure, we tend to let our guard down. And that creates a vulnerability, that creates an opening, and fraudsters will pounce on that. So that's kind of the concept, is that you always have to be vigilant because you're constantly being probed by these fraudsters, and you don't want to be the weakest link that gets exploited.
I mentioned before the skimmers at the self-checkouts and at the ATM machines is one example of where the brick-and-mortar store is not the fail-safe that you might be thinking it is. I know that with credit cards and debit cards, the fraud alert option, which if you don't have that on your card, either get it or get a card that features that. That's one of your protections there, too. What are some of the best things that a consumer can do? And more importantly, how a consumer and a business should be teaming up and looking at preventing as opposed to responding to when scams and cybersecurity breaches happen?
Oh, absolutely. So you bring up a really good point in terms of in the physical channel, the kind of innovation that we had from a payments perspective is including that chip on your debit and on your credit card, which makes the skimming far less effective because that chip provides a dynamic data element that can be skimmed because, it's a cryptogram, essentially, a very hard math to crack. In terms of what are we thinking about from a consumer perspective, well, you want to be kind of that first line of defense. You want to be aware of these trends. You want to be security conscious. And also you want to use the tools that are available to you so that you can be your own security advocate. You know, transaction alerts to let you know that purchases have been made that may not have been authorized by you, or transaction controls in the sense that I'm only willing to spend this much in this channel per day. So you're kind of in the driver's seat. From a business side, you know, there's a whole host of investments that we have made in security standards as an organization to help be that line of defense for you. Tokenization, which is about replacing sensitive data with tokens that are useless if hacked, is one of the greatest innovations that we've had over the last few years because it makes data breaches that much less valuable. And that's kind of a key insight there is you think about fraudsters as business people looking to do initiatives that are going to bring them a high rate of return on their investment. By making data useless to them, they're going to avoid that segment, and they're going to go and focus on something else. So those are a couple of things to think about from both the consumer side and from the business side.
And when it comes to you as either the consumer or the business owner, information is the key in the empowerment. Some of the information, valuable information, can be found at visa.com/blog. We've been talking with cybersecurity expert. He also heads up strategy and operations for Visa Global Fraud Services. Michael Jabara, thank you for the heads up and for the awareness that you bring through the information, and help us be more proactive consumers as well. Thanks for being here today.
No, thanks so much for having me, Chris.